And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And indeed, we are glad to gather here in this place to worship today. You'll notice that our youth are missing. There are 19 of them gone. So ushers, if you can add 19, we're going to count them for our attendance. They're on their summer retreat, and we are excited they'll be coming back today. We want to keep them in our prayers. I have several announcements that aren't in your bulletin. I hope you will read the announcements that are there. You'll note the business meeting next week, a bridal shower coming, biblical recorder if you're receiving the state paper and want to continue, just a lot of things there. But there are a few things that didn't get in the bulletin that we want to mention. First of all, the Sam's group will be leaving this Tuesday at 5 p.m. to go and do the ministry that we do. We'll go to eat and then go to make some visits. We hope you'll be there. There is a sign-up sheet out there. If you would sign up, give us a little better head count, we would appreciate that. Appreciate that ongoing ministry. Then I was handed a note from the gift class that they're going to be going next Sunday night, August the 11th, to hear the Taylors. The bus will be leaving. They're going to be leaving at 4 o'clock. So there's a sign-up sheet. They would invite anyone who wants to go with them to do so. So if you'd like to go on that trip, is that right? Am I getting that right, Norm? It's open to anybody. Please feel free to sign up and go with them next Sunday to hear the Taylors in concert. And that's in Cary, North Carolina. So we would ask you to do that. Then also, on August the 25th, right after our worship service, until 2 o'clock, there's going to be training for those who are teaching. And whether you're in Sunday school, Wednesday night, you're in Awana with either children, youth, or adult teachers, you're encouraged to attend. Lunch will be provided. The family members of the teachers are also invited to come and eat, and then they can excuse themselves afterwards. The training will focus on the educational ministry for children, youth, and adults. Classrooms, logistics, I'm reading now, goals, teacher responsibilities, the way in which teachers are encouraged to run their classes to ensure consistency throughout our educational ministries will be the prime focus of this training event. Whether this is your first year or your 50th year, this training is for you. And please sign up by August 21st. I think out there is a sign up like this so we can know how many you will have coming so we can prepare the meal. Again, that's August the 25th. And we would encourage you, if you're teaching in any capacity, to sign up and be a part of that training. Then, I also want to mention to the diaconate that there's going to be a short meeting immediately following morning worship in the pastor's office, my office, right after worship today. So we would invite everyone who, the diaconate members, to come and be a part of that. Seemed like there was four. One, two, three. Have I got them all? Time on the block party. Oh. I'm reading. Yeah, I put that in. And is Karen here? I don't see Karen. I'm trying to find the announcement now. But I remember putting that in. She called me, and I may have left the timeout. I can't find the announcement right now. Is that the bottom? In the middle page. Following, I'm seeing policies. I might have the wrong bulletin. What does it say? Let's just get this done. What does it say? It says August the 11th. We give a time. We have the whole day cleared, and we'll tell you next week, because I don't know what time. Can you tell I delegate a lot of things to other people and let them handle that? So I'm not going to say, because if I say it, then that's when it'll be. And so, but we'll let you know. But if you can plan to be a part of that, we may get a phone tree out. I'll mention it during the phone tree as well, because we appreciate it. Anything else? Let's get her all done while we're here. Very good. It is wonderful on a beautiful day in what has been a mild summer. to gather with God's people, to come to a place as beautiful as this sanctuary, to be surrounded by holy icons, to prepare our very heart to worship God. I'm going to offer a prayer, and then after that our instruments will play. May we just meditate and prepare ourselves to meet our loving and living God. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful for the day. We are grateful for this place. We are so grateful for the people who are this church. And we gather here to worship you because, God, you are so worthy of our worship. And so as we praise your name, we are excited about all that we are involved in together to do in your ministry. We're excited that even now there are people who we will have the privilege to share the gospel with, and their world shall eternally be changed. Bless us now as we continue to worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's continue to prepare our hearts for worship.
Is his name, and we will indeed tell the world about our Savior. A song that was popular with youth back in the 60s and 70s, page 553, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. Let's all stand.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? I want to talk a little bit. How many of you have ever measured anything in the kitchen, like a cup of something, or I don't know, you maybe measured out something that you were eating? And you ever measured anything? Anybody? Well, you're going to learn something today. How many of you ever measured anything outside, like with a ruler? You ever done that?
No.
Never have? Well, then y'all probably don't even know what this is, do you? A measuring. Well, how do you know? It measures stuff. Well, now let me ask you. I wonder how many cups of water are in that pitcher right there. We use this to find out. You think a gallon? Might be right. I don't know. Maybe half anyway. Would this be a good thing to measure? Why not? This is a measuring tape. We said it was a measuring tape, and I want to measure something. Why wouldn't this be good?
If you put it in the water,
yeah. If you had a little one, and you put it in the pot, it was sick, and then you put it in. That wouldn't be good, would it? That wouldn't be good. Well, I've got another idea. I want to ask you another question. Wonder how long this board on top right here is. Let's measure it. Can I use this to measure it? Let's see. Why not? I have two devices to measure things, and you're telling me that if I don't use them the right way, they won't work. So if I use the one for measuring liquid, I've got to use the cup, and if I want to measure a board, that's when. So using the right measurement is very important, isn't it? Well, let's look at what our scripture says today. Paul was writing because people in a church where he was a pastor were using the wrong measurements. They were comparing how good they were to each other instead of to what God told them to do. They were using their rules instead of God's rules. And our scripture today says, "But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding." In other words, if we use the wrong measurements to try to measure something, even our life, then we'll come up with the wrong result. Let's think about that and let's pray together, can we? God, thank you for cups that can help us to measure stuff, that can help us to cook good food. And thank you, Lord, for measuring tapes that can help us measure how to build things. And Lord, you just bless us with so much. Help us to measure our life by your Bible, by your word, by your teaching, that we may know exactly what you would have us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. As they are returning to their seats or going to children's church, let me invite you again to open your bulletin. And again, I have some names I would like to add to our prayer list. We certainly want to continue to remember the Mike Thomas family in a very special way. You'll also see the Bobby Inman family. I also found out that Ruth Covert passed away. We want to remember that family in our prayers. Also received word that Jessica Bridges' mom, Donna Sovereign, has had cancer reoccur. We want to keep her in our prayers in a very special way. And right at the end of Sunday school, we received a call here at the church, and Miss Janice Harris, that's Davis's mom, was carried to the hospital, and that's really all I know. But we do want to keep her and that family in our prayers in a very special way. And then tomorrow, Miss Ruth West will be going to Moore County for a heart catheterization and possibly even some surgery. So we want to be keeping her in our prayers in a very, very special way. You see this list? I remind us of its sacredness. Would you join me as we pray? God, we are grateful for the privilege of prayer. We are grateful for the opportunity we have as your people to pause in our worship and to focus our worship for a moment on the prayer of intercession, to pray for people who have special needs. And so we lift them to your care, O God. We pray that you might comfort those who need your comfort, that you might strengthen those who need your strength, that you might bring healing to those who need your divine touch. And God, as we continue to worship you this day, help us to ask ourselves the question, how are we measuring success? And God, would you speak clearly to our hearts this day? In Christ's name we pray.
There was a song in our hymnal. I don't know if you know it. If you came to the Seder meal, you have heard that at least and probably sang it. So many. We've got over 600 hymns in our hymnal. We use so few of them. Page 550, words by George Beverly Shea, who was soloist for Billy Graham for many years. I'd rather have Jesus. 550. Let's all stand.
I pray that you would. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please accept these offerings in hopes that we would have a better understanding of you. Be with each and every one of us as we leave here today, in hopes that we will be back here again next Sunday to hear your beautiful word. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir, indeed. Magnifying the precious name of Jesus. So enjoyed. This is a day of new beginnings that Leonard and Caroline and Regina and Gail shared with us as well. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter. Our title is, How Should We Measure Success? I couldn't help but read the words to the last hymn we sang differently in light of my preparation for this sermon. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame, we sang. I just began to think about how we really measure success. I wonder today if the lesson that we're about to read from Scripture, well, it will challenge me. I hope it challenges all of us. But I also hope, and my prayer is, that it might give us a different resolve the next time we sing that Beverly Shea hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Because too many times I get caught up in the anything. I don't know about you. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 13 through 21. An interesting story where Jesus says, Who made me your judge? That's an interesting statement from Christ, isn't it? The judge of the universe. And then a story. A story that burns, stings, challenges, and maybe even encourages us. Luke chapter 12, beginning to read in verse 13. If you're able, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word and the gospel? Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not Read that again. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told him a parable saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully. The land that God made of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, the man did, What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Aphron, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word and grant us understanding. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to recognize that life is different when we measure different. results are different when we measure different. Guide us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I love the story about the little fellow that came in 6 years old and said, "Mommy, Mommy, I am 9 feet tall." She said, "Honey, you're not 9 feet." "Oh, yes, Mom, I'm 9 feet tall. I know I am." "Honey, you're not 9 feet tall. You're barely 4 feet tall." "I'm 9 feet, Mama. I measured. "How did you measure?" she asked. He said, "Well, what I did was I laid down and put my feet next to the wall, and I took one of my tinker toys and I put it right at the back of my head. And then I stood up and I had the distance. And then I took one of my sandals, which is the same size as my foot, I took one of my sandals and I measured, and it was 9 sandals. 9 of my feet, I am 9 foot tall." Well, he was by his feet. Not maybe by a 12-inch ruler that we call a foot. How do we measure? I wonder, that text, 2 Corinthians 10:12, I shared with the children, those who measure themselves by themselves, they're without understanding. Jesus is asked to help settle a family dispute, to tell a brother to do what was right, and Jesus reminded us, sometimes we need to be the steward of what we've entrusted. I love the story of Campello when a need came up in one of the conferences he was teaching and someone said, "Well, let's pray about that." And he said, "No, it's not time to pray." He said, "It's time to reach in our pockets and be good stewards and give." How do we measure success? I want to suggest today that if we're not careful, as we are reminded in verse 15, that we can measure success by the wrong stuff. Jesus says one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possession. That is the great temptation, isn't it? That is the seductive trap. That is what guards us. I've heard the story. I have no idea it's true, but I've heard it told often, that one way you can catch a monkey, or I don't know which kind of monkey or where, but you can dig a hole and you can put kind of stakes that kind of point down, and you can drop a coin down in that hole, and when that monkey discovers that shiny coin, he will reach his hand, and when he makes a fist, he can't get his hand back out, but he will not turn loose of that coin, even to the point you can come up and capture or kill him. He will hold on. He will hold on to his newfound treasure. The wrong stuff. I heard a story about a Texas millionaire that when he got close to his death, he decided that he wanted to be buried in his white Cadillac, dressed in a cowboy suit with all kind of beads and shiny things, his 10-gallon cowboy hat on, a cigar in his mouth. Sure enough, his family honored that request. They dug that big hole and they buried him. There he was, sitting in his Cadillac. With I don't know, Tommy, you ever had a request like that? Not yet. There's still hope, though. There's still time. The day of his funeral, everybody in town came out and they were passing there at the graveside. And one fellow was heard over saying as he looked, and there he sat, cigar, 10-gallon hat, cowboy suit, sitting in his Cadillac. And one fellow said, "Boy, that sure is living right there." Well, no, that's not living. But that's almost a metaphor, isn't it, for us? You've seen that bumper sticker, I'm spending the children's inheritance. I don't know, maybe that's not a bad idea. I remember a few years ago, there was that bumper sticker that was out there, the one who wins is the one who has the most toys, possessions, the wrong stuff. But my goodness, we can't cut on the TV or the radio and not be told it's the right stuff. It's what we need. It's where happiness really lies. It's having that abundance, just like the man in our story who didn't realize that God made the ground to bear and thought he had done it. And I emphasized as hard as I could when I read the text that how many times did it? I hope it irritated you just a little bit, because I think it irritated God. I think it irritates God. I think it irritates God when I begin to believe that it's more about me, possessions. Americans have themselves deeply in debt because of their desire to have more. I remember some comedian say, is it all right to pay off your MasterCard with your Visa card? You know, some of us may have thought about that. Someone did a wonderful twist. You've seen the recent commercial in days of MasterCard, where they'll tell you, one of my favorites is the golf club costs this much, and the green fees cost this much, and then all of a sudden the guy hits this great golf shot, and he says, but some things are priceless. Well, someone has done a spoof off of that MasterCard commercial, and let me just share it with you. There are some things money can buy. For everything else, there's Jesus. He goes on to say, I'm a card-carrying representative of the Master's card. A new Bible may cost you $20. An Easter lily will run you $15. But eternity in heaven? Priceless. Let me tell you about it. There's no finance charge. There's no payments due. It's completely prepaid. There's no expiration. We couldn't afford it, so Jesus paid it for us. My name is written on the card for all to see. It's accessible 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world. The Master's card has so many benefits. It's hard to list them all, but let me just say that you might want to have all those benefits in your own personal card. The Master card gives you access to many members-only benefits. I like that. Unlimited grace, joy, lasting peace. There's no preset limit to God's grace or His love. Another great thing about the Master's card is it never expires. Once you're a member for life, eternal life, that is. Remember, membership has its privileges. If you're a sinner, you qualify. Don't delay. This great offer won't last forever, but the benefits will. Don't leave earth without it. The Master's card. I think Jesus was trying to tell us that if we're not careful, we like this man who wanted the estate to be divided up, made that the main thing. I bet every one of us here knows of some family that's been torn apart, and maybe even some of us are here today and our family has been torn apart over an estate, over the divvying up of something. Jesus says, remember, that's not what's most important. It is easy to measure the success in life by the number of gifts, but we are to really measure life by the giver of good gifts. What is the important stuff to us? I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. My goodness, I think there have been times I may have sung that song with some dishonesty, in my heart. How about you? Not only do we have to guard against the wrong stuff, we have to guard against the wrong strategy. Full, powerful word. Two words in the Greek. One is raka, for fool. The other is aphron. has little to do, that fool, with mental condition, but everything to do with a spiritual condition. Hear that idea of a fool, as it is often mentioned in the Bible. In Psalms 14:1, it says of the unbelieving fool, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." In Proverbs 1:7, there's an ignorant fool. Fools despise wisdom. In Proverbs 12, the self-righteous fool, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." I have had that foolish experience before. How about you? The mocking fool, Proverbs 14:9, "The fool mocks at sin." The self-sufficient fool in Romans 1:22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And then the rich fool in Luke 12, verse 16, "Thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you." John Tillotson, a pastor, once said, "He who provides for his life but does not take care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever." Powerful words, aren't they? Wise for a moment. That's the trap. That's the wrong strategy, to be wise in this moment, but to be a fool for eternity. The rich man in our story consulted himself rather than the one who made the ground plentiful. I wonder today, are we aware that all of our blessings, all of the good gifts of life, all of them, every one of them, have come from God? Regardless of how hard we worked or how many hours we put in, no matter how much we have been blessed with other things, they're all gifts from God. Here's the question. It's real simple. Are we following God's plan? Are we following the Master's plan? The wrong strategy. The wrong strategy is desperate. There have been story after story. You've heard them. We hear them. Before this month of August is out, we will hear of someone who we thought had it all, in desperation, ended all. And I don't know who that is, but I'll just guarantee you, and if it's not in August, I guarantee you by September, we'll be shocked. It'll be headlines for a little while. Someone who had it all. Maybe they'll be an actor or a sports figure. Maybe they'll be a politician. There'll be someone who we said, man, they had it all because they were great with possessions. The wrong strategy leads us to the wrong result. And finally this morning, if we are indeed after the wrong stuff, and if we are indeed following the wrong strategy, we end up with the wrong place to store. It said he built these barns and he stored his stuff. And he said to his soul, "Have ease, relax, eat, drink, and be merry." You've got enough? You've got enough? And yet, that very night, not one thing he put in the barn would ever do him any good. Not one thing he stored up. Not one thing he worked so hard for. Not one thing that he had done was any good. There's a story by Leo Tolstoy, the great Russian writer, who told about a successful peasant farmer who was not satisfied with his lot. He wanted more. One day he receives in this story a novel offer for 1,000 rubles, and he had 1,000 rubles. He could buy all the land. A great landowner said, "You can have all of my land that you can walk around in a day. You can have it all for 1,000 rubles. The only catch to the deal was that he had to be back at his starting point at sundown. He had to start one place, make his circle, and get back. And whatever he walked around, that that would be the boundary of his new property for 1,000 rubles. Oh, he thought, what a blessing. I can walk forever. Next morning early, he started off, and he was walking at a fast pace, faster than he had ever walked before. And so at sunlight, he began to walk. By 7 o'clock, he was walking further, and by 8 o'clock, and then by 9 o'clock, and then by 10 o'clock, and then by 11 o'clock, he was walking as fast and far and thinking to himself, oh, I am going to be the greatest landowner in all the world. By midday, he began to tire. Oh, but he kept going. He kept going, covering more and more ground. And well into the afternoon, he realized that his greed had taken him far from his starting point, and he had to be back. He had to be back. Tired now, after having walked hard, not taking time to eat or even nurture himself. Now the desperation of time, realizing sundown was coming, he began to walk. He began to run. He walked as hard and ran as fast as he could. The sun began to sink. The horizon was coming in sight. He was wondering, would he make it? And then he saw the finish line, and there the landowner was, standing, waiting. He was gasping for breath. His heart was pounding. He called upon every bit of his strength left in his body. And just before the end of the sun went down of the horizon, he staggered and fell across the finish line. A smile came upon his face, but suddenly blood began to stream from his mouth. And in just a very few moments, he died. Afterwards, his servants dug a grave. It was 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. The title of Tolstoy's story was, How Much Land Does a Man Need? How much land does a man need? The wrong storage, the wrong investment of one's life, the wrong energy, because sundown's coming. Sundown's coming for all of us. Heavenly treasure can never be lost. What do we send ahead? Our love of Jesus, our service to the King. God blesses us with so much, not that we would have so much, but that we might be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. Today, I wonder, when I look at my bank account and then my treasure chest in heaven, where have I put more energy? When I look at my stuff, and I wonder about my stars in my crown for eternity, I wonder where I'm storing the most valuable stuff. How should we measure success? I'm glad you asked. Our walk with God. Our time with God. Every day. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. What a tremendous challenge. Next time I sing that hymn, Leonard, I pray my treasure chest in glory has had more of my energy than my treasure chest on earth. The master's card don't leave earth without it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and your multiple blessings to me and to us. And today, O God, may we have done some inventory within our own life. about what's important. May we have done some inventory and our own understanding of where we are investing most of our energy and our time and our resources. And Lord, may it be said of us, when time comes to an end, that we were committed to the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our energy, with all our resources. And we loved our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today is page 322. You must be born again. Today, if you don't know that Christ is your Lord and Savior and eternity is satisfied, if you'd come and talk with me, we could work on that. I promise you, I've got a plan in God's Word that will fit your life. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ publicly, may we do so. But may each of us, for a moment, as we remind ourselves of our commitment to be born afresh and anew in God's kingdom, look in our own life and let the Holy Spirit look with us as we stand together and sing. I do have two praises. One, that Pat Bridges was in the hospital with an asthma episode. She's out. I might have to get forgiveness for telling you that, but that is a praise for us. Many of us have been praying for her. And also, Carol Smith had a procedure done this week and got good news. And she told me first not to tell anybody, and she said, I can tell everybody. So I'm just going to tell y'all. We want to continue to pray for her, and she will continue to have some follow-up on that as well. Remind the members of the diaconate, there'll be a short meeting in my office immediately following our worship today. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all these people. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You for the measurements of the cross that measure lives correctly. Help us as we live this week that we might be good stewards of all You have entrusted to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.